Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You know, we don't treat serious bone infections very often, but they do occasionally come across our patient panel. You picked an article this week from the New England Journal that talks about serious bone infections. These obviously need to be treated, and they need to be treated with the right antibiotic for the right amount of time. Younger patients who have osteomyelitis occur mostly in the setting of trauma and related types of surgery. Older patients, osteomyelitis can be a result of contiguous spread of infection from other sources, but also from such things as diabetic foot wounds and decubitus ulcers and the like. The microbiology of osteomyelitis is usually microbiological polyorganisms. In other words, a polymicrobial staph, aureus, coagulase negative strep, and anaerobic gram-negative bacteria are probably the most common organisms. We tend to treat these with broad-spectrum antibiotics until such time as a culture comes back with a specific critter, and then we choose something that's specific to that organism. This treatment of bone and joint infections also includes physical things like debridement and management of infected foreign bodies and the like. Evidence for all of this is starting to change. Empiric treatment of osteomyelitis should probably now consist of antimicrobial therapy with activity against things like methicillin-resistant staph aureus and gram-negative organisms. Your article attempts to answer the question for our listeners, is an early switch to oral antibiotics as safe and effective as 6 weeks of IV antibiotics for patients with bone and joint infections? And clearly, the obvious reason for that question is that there are huge cost savings if we can treat these infections orally rather than with antibiotics that are given through the intravenous route. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this is one of a pair of non-inferiority trials that we're going to talk about this month. And I think one kind of did it for the right reasons and one kind of did it for the wrong reasons. And this is the one that I think did it for the right reasons, the idea of a simpler oral instead of IV, more outpatient focused kind of therapy for a serious infection. So the researchers found a bunch of adults with one of the following infections: osteomyelitis of the extraaxial skeleton, so not spinal, native joint infection that required excision arthroplasty, infection of a prosthetic joint or orthopedic fixation device, or vertebral osteomyelitis, serious bone infections. All patients would have typically been treated based on usual care with IV antibiotics. In this study, they were randomized within 7 days of the initiation of IV antibiotics to get either continued IV or switch to oral antibiotics. The antibiotics were selected based on culture, sensitivity, and other factors by the ID consultant. The final modified intention to treat analysis included over 1,000 patients. Mean age was about 50 years. 2/3 were men, and all had some kind of surgical debridement or device removal. Most common bugs were staph aureus and coag-negative staph, which made up a total of 65% of the pathogens that were identified. So, as I said, this was a non-inferiority trial, which I think is appropriate since the goal is to compare a simpler, cheaper treatment option with the standard of care and see if it's no worse. Adherence to the assigned therapy was good. About 80% in the IV group got a full 6 weeks of IV antibiotics, and 90% in the oral group got less than 7 days of IV antibiotics, which was the goal. So for the primary outcome of treatment failure, oral therapy was equivalent at 1 year to at least 6 weeks of IV therapy. Treatment failure was 15%, 14.6% in the IV group, and a bit lower, 13.2% in the oral group. There was no difference in overall quality of life, hip function scores. Knee function scores were actually a little better in the oral treatment group. Not surprisingly, the oral group had 3 fewer days in the hospital. There were more catheter-related complications in the IV group, but the overall rate of serious events was similar between groups. So bottom line, for some of these serious bone infections, oral antibiotics started within 7 days of surgery for patients with a serious bone infection was safe and effective as 6 weeks of IV antibiotics. So that's good news. Nice when we can do something simpler and cheaper and just as effective.
Yeah. Although it raises the ugly question that we've talked about a lot, which is when you do get a game changer like this, how do you get doctors to begin to change their practice? And, you know, we know lots of examples of things where, you know, 15 and 20 years later, doctors are still not practicing what the evidence showed years before. What would be your suggestion of how to disseminate these findings to change practice?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it seems very hit or miss. There's some things that we very quickly adopt when there's no good alternative, and all of a sudden there's a drug for this, like, you know, Viagra and Cialis, for example. We very quickly adopted COX-2 inhibitors. You know, so I think there are many cases where things were fairly quickly adopted, and in some cases appropriately, and in other cases not. I think it has to do with marketing. You know, where are the economic incentives aligned? You're going to have people who, you know, currently profit from delivering IV services as outpatients. Are they going to, you know, go along with this? Are they going to try to discourage this approach? I don't know. It's changing behavior is a slow process sometimes, unfortunately, as you point out.
Right. Unfortunately, the folks that seem to know the most about changing doctors' behavior quickly are the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. ¶¶